So I'm Lena. I'm working at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I'm looking at the fate and transport of pharmaceuticals and personal care products through soil profile. These compounds are considered an emerging contaminant for two reasons. They have just recently been discovered in bodies of water because the amount of compound is very low, and our technology has just recently kind of caught up on being able to detect compounds in the nanogram per liter limit. The source for a lot of these contaminants are wastewater treatment facilities. They are excreted through urine and feces, which ends up in the wastewater treatment facilities, as they were discussed earlier. These wastewater treatment plants are not really designed to remove pharmaceuticals or personal care products. So once they move through the wastewater treatment system, and Las Vegas in particular, they're discharged directly to the Colorado River system, which is also where our drinking water is pulled from. Instead of directly discharging this reclaimed water to Colorado River system, it can be used as an irrigation source, particularly in golf courses and parks. Some of the factors that can influence how these compounds move through a soil property, movement of these compounds through the soil profile can be the properties of the pharmaceuticals themselves. A lot of times these compounds are really wide-ranging in the properties. They can have low solubilities, high solubilities, low octanol water partition coefficients, high. So they can behave very differently depending on the compound themselves. Another factor for this is the characteristics of the soil itself. A sandy type soil is going to behave a lot differently than a loam type soil based on the properties of the soil itself. The amount of organic matter can also influence how these compounds are going to move through the soil profile. Some of these compounds are going to want to adsorb to organic material rather than move with the water through the soil profile. Finally, irrigation cropping system, and just by that I mean whether it's covered with turf grass or whether the soil is actually left bare. The environmental demand on a turf grass system can be different. When there's high demand, it requires a lot more water, which means there could be a lot more pharmaceuticals in the water put onto the turf grass. Another factor could be the leaching fraction. By leaching fraction, I just mean the amount of water in the drainage that passes below the root system. Keeping some of these different properties in mind, we came up with a system of 8 different treatment combinations for our lysimeters. The BC indicates a sandy type soil, the NLV indicates a loam type soil, and the leaching fraction is either at a 5% or a 25% leaching fraction. The 5% leaching fraction in Las Vegas is going to be typical of a golf course. 25% is a pretty high leaching fraction for a golf course in Las Vegas. The B is a bare lysimeter, and the G indicates a lysimeter covered with turf grass. We just wanted to see how these different treatment combinations will influence how the pharmaceuticals or personal care products can move through the soil profile. So we built 24 lysimeters. They are approximately 61 centimeters in diameter, and they're 127 centimeters internal height, and they are non-weighing lysimeters. In the bottom of each lysimeter is 7 centimeters of diatomaceous earth in which there are these ceramic drainage solution samplers. At 120 centimeters, the soil layer starts, and we pack it from the bottom to the top. At 115 centimeters are these stainless steel solution samplers. At 15 and 105 centimeters, we installed redox probes so we can monitor the redox potential at a shallow depth and then at a deeper depth. This is a picture of one of our lysimeters. In the center of each is a profiler access tube so we can monitor the soil water storage inside the lysimeter. And this is the profiler access tube that's actually down into the access tube. This is a summary of 2 years worth of irrigation and water balance information. There's a lot of information on this table. I didn't really intend for you to absorb all this. I just wanted to make note of this red column. This is the irrigation values over approximately 2 years. Some of the lysimeters have been irrigated as much as 500 centimeters of reclaimed water, but some are as little as 200 centimeters. This green column is drainage values. There are some as few as 25 centimeters of drainage, some as high as 115, 120 centimeters of drainage. These two graphs show a difference in the soil water storage for two different types of soil. On the left over here is a bare loam soil, and the red dots indicate a 25% leaching fraction. The black dots indicate a 0.05 leaching fraction, and you can definitely see a difference between a bare loam soil and a bare loamy sand. The bare loam soil for almost all of the lysimeters did not even start draining until we started our overseed period, at which point the soil water storage started to climb to meet the 25% leaching fraction. This is the time of the year where golf courses would generally overseed their turf and start irrigating heavily. This graph shows pore volumes of drainage versus time. These red dots are a 0.25 loamy sand for both graphs, with bare lysimeters on top, turf-covered lysimeters on the bottom. You can see that the 0.25 loamy sands have drained quite a bit over the last 2 years, while a lot of the other lysimeters have not. These two are the 0.25 loam and the 0.05 loamy sand. The 0.05 loam soils had not started draining even on some of the lysimeters until we started this overseed period. These are the pharmaceuticals and personal care products that are analyzed for at University of California, Riverside, in Jay Gann's lab. This is a list of 15 different pharmaceuticals and personal care products. They range from antibacterial to, this is diazepam, it acts as a sedative. We also have anticonvulsants and another antibacterial. Also, you have your lipid regulators, high cholesterol medications that show up in the wastewater. These are the average concentrations of personal care products in the irrigation water. These values are in nanograms per liter, which are not marked on here. But average concentration for the compounds found in the irrigation water are very low. They're nanograms per liter. These four I've highlighted, so you can just kind of keep note of them in your head, what the concentration for the irrigation. Diazepam is pretty low at 4.5, but sulfamethoxazole is around 1,600 nanograms per liter. This graph shows the concentration in nanograms per liter versus pore volumes of drainage. This is just representative of one lysimeter, lysimeter 6, which is a 0.25 leaching fraction. It's a bare soil. You can see we didn't get any indication of pharmaceuticals until after one pore volume for this particular lysimeter. The concentration of primidone is between 20 and 40 nanograms per liter. Carbamazepine is pretty low, as is diazepam. The concentration of sulfamethoxazole, however, started out low. It peaked out about 110 nanograms per liter, and since then it has started dropping off. Using the average concentration of the irrigation water and the average concentration of the pharmaceuticals in the irrigation and the drainage, I've done a rough mass balance of compounds that have shown up in the drainage. Now, this is very rough. All I did was took the average concentration and multiplied it by the amount of irrigation. So this is going to somewhat bias the compounds in the drainage because they didn't even show up until that one pore volume, but I took the average over the entire study period. This last column is just the concentration of the pharmaceuticals in the irrigation divided by a concentration in the drainage. You can see that primidone, diazepam, and chloride are all very similar, which seems to mean that they are moving through the soil profile in a similar fashion to chloride. I just want to emphasize the fact it's a little bit biased towards the drainage. Concentration, though, is not always the only factor to how much of this compound is being transported through the soil profile. The amount of drainage is also very important, which is why I took the average concentration and multiplied it by the irrigation and then divided those. So if you're just looking at concentration for primidone, for example, you get a 0.7 ratio, but it's three times higher in the irrigation than the drainage if you're looking at it from a mass balance approach. The same thing with sulfamethoxazole. It's 100 times more in the irrigation than it is in the drainage. So it's really important to consider how much drainage you're getting through your soil profile when you're thinking about concentrations. These are in micrograms. Just in comparison, this is as much chloride is being put on and drained through the soil profile. This final graph just shows how different the loamy sands are from the loam lysimeters. This is a one-point collection from the stainless steel lysimeters. You see there's quite a bit of difference between the loamy sands and the loam lysimeters. There's also a big difference in the cropping system and your leaching fraction on the loamy sands. This 0.25 bare, which was also shown in the previous slide, is four times higher in the drainage than this 0.05 grass in the loamy soil, which is a little bit more representative of what's on a golf course in Las Vegas. So this is just some preliminary results. We're still refining some of our graphs, but it seems like the turf grass, loamy soils do seem to retain a lot of these pharmaceuticals. Low pore volumes for drainage of some of the treatments indicate that you need to run these studies for a long time. The loamy soils especially are a little bit difficult. They have higher storage values, which means you're going to get less drainage coming through, especially if you have a low leaching fraction that you're trying to impose. Later on, we are going to do some analysis of variance to look at some of the interplay between the cropping systems, the soil types, the turf grass versus bare and that type of thing. We're also going to try to model the movement of these pharmaceuticals using one-dimensional hydrus model. Finally, I would just like to acknowledge some of the funding sources. WRF and the Water Reuse Foundation have contributed quite a bit of the funding for this project.